for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, the significance of a name. These are copied from the first person by Dr. Lehman Strauss. And so using some of his notes here, using his notes on a lesson tonight on the significance of a name. What is in a name? You can think of, as we've mentioned many times this week, do you have a Home Depot here? Do you have this store here? No, we don't have that store here. And I was out with Brother Brad, and he's like, oh, you have a Westbourne. Oh, good. You know, we had some familiar things that are elsewhere in Canada. But we're looking for a name. And with a name, there's certain attributes of that particular store, person, characteristic. You can say a name, and there can be like, oh, or there can be, you know, when you think about this. And here in Proverbs, did I say Psalms? But Proverbs 22, 1 tonight, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Seldom do we stop to think of the meaning behind a name. And so we're going to talk about a name tonight and the significance of a name, particularly of our Lord. And I want to talk about that tonight. So let's pray, and we'll bring this time. We need the Lord's blessing upon it, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, Lord, I yield tonight to Thee, God, as Your servant. And Lord, I just pray You take control of every word I say. Father, the thoughts and words, and Father, I pray in our hearts that the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, name of God, would be such a revered and holy name. Lord, when we think about it, Lord, it's the greatest name that we can think of. Father, I pray that I would be pleasing to Thee as I preach Your word. I need Your help. You go before me and I'll follow. And Lord, may our hearts be continually drawn closer in a relationship with our blessed Savior. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Would you turn with me to Psalm 113, Psalm 113 in your Bibles tonight. Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3. In verse 2 of Psalm 113, blessed be what? The name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The rising of the sun and the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. It's all capitalized. It is Jehovah. In Matthew 6, 9, after this manner pray ye, or therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. It is said that the Muslims have 99 names for the Supreme Being, but there is none that resembles the intimacy of the Christians, our Father. The tender love of God for His children is only revealed in the Bible. I'm reading an illustration quote here. Heathen religions present their deities as God who should be feared, but do not conceive of them as gracious, compassionate beings filled with concern for suffering humanity. The Christian alone is able to look up with the intimacy of a child stretching forth his arms to his affectionate parent and exclaiming, Abba, Father. The term Abba literally means Papa. And during the Bible times, there was a purpose and the meaning in the selections of names. I'd like to show you that in particular. Genesis chapter 35, verse 17 and 18. Can I tell you in this community, as we think about what is going on currently with our church, there is a name very resolutely and boldly being proclaimed. As the work that you're doing is proclaiming to this community, there are things still going on at this church. There's a name. In Genesis chapter 35, in verse 17 particularly, and it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. The difference in the naming here, the name Benoni means son of my sorrow. Benjamin means son of my right hand. Here is Rachel dying, and she calls him son of my sorrow. His father, Jacob, would call him son of my right hand. There's a significance to a name. When we chose our daughter's name, Eliana, we did so because of the meaning of the name. Her name means, my God has answered me. We did not think we could have children. And after 8 years, God provided graciously our precious little daughter. As we think on that very thought, names have significance. And one of the most dynamic ways that God reveals himself to us is through his name. G.P. Partington said, new crises and peculiar needs among his people called forth fresh names. And there can be no emergency among believers to which some name of God does not apply. While it is true that we will not have a complete revelation and understanding of God in this world, we are assured that a more than sufficient relationship is available through the study of the names of God and our walk in fellowship with him, end quotes. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Can I tell you, when I am ministering in the community, and I meet someone, and I get their name wrong, and I have to apologize, and I'm like, there's times where my mind's like racing, you know, and someone tells me their name, and like, I'm already forgetting it by the time they tell it to me, and I'm like, ah, you know, you ever get like that? And I feel so bad, because I'm like, it's really important to remember someone's name. There's other times, there's particular names I can remember, and I haven't seen that person for a long time, and they're just surprised that of the value of just remembering a name. It shows that they are remembering who I am. I hate it when someone comes up, hey, do you remember me? Da, 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 da. And they say, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. But I'm telling you, in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. God knows all about me. He knows your name. He knows my name. Now, I want you to understand why it's important to know the names of God. Would you look with me at Psalm 29:2? Number one, the importance is we are to give glory to his name, and by knowing his names, we give glory to him. Psalm 29, verse 2. In Psalm 29, verse 2, in verse 2 of Psalm 29, the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Why do I need to know his name? Because number one, I need to give glory to his name, right? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. His name already deserves all the glory. All the work that's being done this week is not any one person. It's God. God that put it in the heart of some servants down in Wyoming. God that put it in the heart of a man many years ago to start the Jehovah Jireh Foundation. And he and his wife, they had a whole bunch of money, and they wanted to spend their last years serving the Lord and seeing churches flourish all over the world, and they've given money, and churches contribute to this foundation now, and it helps small ministries. And then Brother Smith and his ministry, and you guys come along, and God's provided the financial means for you to come up here, and things can go on at home. I mean, God's work throughout all of this. But again, every one of these little, well, they're not really little, but every one of these details speaks to the glory and the grandeur of our great Savior. Turn with me to Psalm 34, verse 1. Can I tell you, in our lives as believers, the greatest ministry that we can do is encouraging others to exalt God's name. When they come for salvation, when we live out our lives, it's always to point people to look and say, how great is God? Can I tell you, as I look at this building, I know I'm reminiscing a lot about this project, I would have never in a million years thought the work that has gone in just 3 days, I thought it was going to take a lot longer. And I was just thinking about this, and I said, for Brother Smith, he has, remember the Olympics? And they try to put the dream team together. I don't know if you remember, for the United States, they had the dream team. I mean, you get all the best basketball athletes, and they play all these other kind of minor league basketball teams, and they just royally destroyed them on the courts. I'm thinking, we got our dream team of everyone that comes up here, loves the Lord. They're not doing it for financial gain. They're doing it because they love the Lord. They love the fellowship. He gets a whole bunch of incredibly skilled believers, and then they all come together, and he gives them a task. It's done. Don't have to worry about it. It's just done. I'm like, he has a dream team. Because God's the one that's the focus. It's not on how, look at me, and career progression. It's like, no, we want to serve God, and we enjoy the fellowship of one another. Like-minded unity brings unbelievable progress because God is the one doing it. In Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Man, I want people to know Jesus and praise and lift up Christ. You know what we are to do? And it says here, another one going on to Psalm 113, we are to praise his name at all times, Psalm 113. So we encourage others to exalt God's name. And can I tell you, when others are liking to use, I don't understand when Christians can say, oh my, and then they try to put in God's name there. That's not exalting his name. They'll put letters O and then M, and then they'll insert a letter G. That's not exalting God's name. Or they might use Jesus and then use Christ and use it in a very vain, casual fashion. It's not exalting his name. God forbid. Because Christians, I want people to see how good he is, not how common he is. In Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and for, what does it say? Evermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Our obligation is to praise the name of the Lord continually. You continually lift up, exalt his name. Psalm 63:4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You know, it's okay when we're singing a song. If you want to raise your hand, feel free to do it. I know it's not necessarily common, but you're welcome to. God's name is going to be the highest and most prominent name in all that I do as long as I live. Now, we're not raising our raising our hands to draw attention to me. If that's what we're trying to do, then put your hands down. Look with me at Psalm 145, again, another scripture passage where David is really just trying, just think about a name. You could think about particular construction companies in town. You have a name, and with that name, there is a reputation that follows it. Either good, great, or stay away. And the same with mechanics and all sorts of various trades. But it ought not to be in the Christian that the name of God is one that would ever be said, stay away. Because of the way that I am portraying God to others. Psalm 145, verse 1. David's psalm of praise, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Never to be undermined or made common. Supreme and glorious name that is never to be trodden underfoot. Look with me at this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I understand this might be one of those more simple messages, but man, it just hits to the heart of why we do what we do. And thinking about just, I'm reading in Ezekiel in my devotions, and I think about Ezekiel comes into the glory of the Lord and he falls on his face. The holiness, and it talks about drawing near in holiness. You see the standards that we hold as Christians, and the reason why I don't want to partake in worldly activities is because I don't want to take the name of God. And people say, God, and how you portray God, because people get their idea of God by how we as Christians live out our lives. So they take God's name and how you live, and they say, number one, I don't like this. And then number two, I don't want that God, because if God's like that, I don't want him. Why is that? 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If any man is in Christ, there's an ambassador. So we think on this. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. It ought not to be ever said of a Christian, or you as a Christian, to say, it's my life and I'll do with it as I please. Because the moment I take on the name of Jesus and I accept that gift of the blood of Jesus Christ for all that it's forgiven me of, I'm now representing God, every one of you. How you speak, how you talk, how you live out your lives, how you interact, it all is a representation of Christ because I represent his name. Can I tell you another thing about God's name? Psalm 33:21. You see, this whole idea, and I know many times it can become over on this idea of separation and standards, and I'm all for that. But when it becomes on the standards and not the reason why the standard, and it's holiness and not a demand for the holiness, I'm holiness because I'm representing Christ. It's holiness because I love God so much, I don't want to do anything to tarnish his name. If it's just the standards, and again, I'm not against standards, but if it's just the standards for standards' sake, or that's what we've always done, then the fact is I'm losing the reasoning and I've lost the power. Because the standard without an attachment is just another tradition that's very overbearing and burdensome. In Psalm 33:21, the Bible tells us, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted his holy name. His name brings joy. Can I tell you, growing up, when my parents or others would mention my grandma and grandpa Lau, joy flooded my heart. I still think about my grandmother with the highest of regard. My Christian, if you would say, role model or hero in the faith would be my grandmother. Grandma wasn't very well educated. She worked in pawn shops and some odd and ends jobs. Grandma was never very well to do, but my grandmother was very rich towards God. Because at night, the simplest gift that she gave me was on her knees, Grandma and Grandpa, and I could hear my name being proclaimed in prayer before the almighty throne of God. As a young boy, I didn't think much of it, but as I look back and I got married to my wife, I said, I want to do that with my wife. And my wife and I, almost every night, there's nights we get so tired we fall asleep, but almost every night we pray together. Can I tell you also something Grandma did? And I know for those of our church, I've mentioned this many times before, but I'd get up in the morning, I'd come out, hot coffee would be on. I didn't drink coffee, still don't, and for the most part. And Grandma's Bible, big old Bible, would be on the table, on the kitchen table. There's marks all over it. She'd tell me what memory verses she had. She had a big old lined paper notebook, and Grandma was writing down, journaling what God was speaking to her about in the Bible every day. I could always go to Grandma's house every morning. I knew Grandma was going to be in God's Word. Can I tell you, that was any inheritance that I could be given, that was the greatest thing I ever had. It doesn't cost you anything to give that gift. Can I tell you the heart of, I still times I'm like, man, I wish I could call Grandma. But I'm telling you that the name of the Lord Jesus ought to bring such an incredible joy. Can I tell you something else about the name of our Lord? It's our defense. Look with me at Psalm 20, verse 6. As a young boy, my grandmother would take me out bus calling. We'd go knocking doors for bus. And a few times I'd be on the bus with her. We've done some door knocking and some other things with my grandmother. But my grandmother, she did after-school Bible clubs in the public schools, and Grandma would take me to that. And I just saw how to live out a Christian witness and be a witness for Christ. Grandma showed me. Again, Grandma was not very well educated. Her writing was not great. Man, my grandmother was, if I would say humanly speaking, was a world to me. And now, you know, I've grown very close with my dad, and I love my father dearly. We have a great relationship, and if I'm struggling, I'll call my dad and I'll chat with him. And I'm thankful my dad was just recently up here. But can I, when we think about the Lord, His name is our defense. Look with me at verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Look with me at 2 Chronicles 20, 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. Again, this defense of God's name must be with a heart that is set firmly attached upon Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, think about that. God's name is our defense. Verse 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. What happened here? They sang, they praised the Lord, and what did God do? God defeated the enemy. It's not this, Jesus, help me! Because I'm trying to throw up anything to help. Like a Hail Mary. I hope it works. I'm saying I'm going to Him because He is the absolute rock and refuge that I know He's the only one that can help me, and I call upon His name, and He says, listen, I'm your defense. It's kind of like there's times that maybe in our lives we're stuck and we call out to someone, help. Like one time I was out riding my bike. I was in upstate New York. I was in the military, and I was like on a 40 or 50 mile ride that day. And as I started off, it was, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 degrees out. The temperature dropped to like 2 or 3. It was raining, and then it began to hail, and then it was like snowing on me, and I was like, ah. And I'm riding, and like I can just feel my body like slowing down because like I'm cold. I was there in my shorts and my bike, you know, my bike shirt, my, you know, bike apparel, and I was cold. I was like, man, I still got about another 10 miles to go to finish this thing. I called my buddy and I said, I need help. I stopped at a gas station, warmed up, and he came and he picked me up. Can I tell you something else about our Lord? In Psalm 44, verse 5, Psalm 44, verse 5, His name defeats our enemies. In Psalm 44, verse 5. Psalm 44, verse 5, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. I have no power, but God has all enemy. God has all power, and his name defeats our enemies. Your greatest defense is the name of the Lord. And again, not as a slot machine. I hope this works. I hope this stops. I hope it works. No, it's confidence. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews talks about without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 10:6. And his name is our strong tower. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Where do you turn for strength when the tempter or human adversary comes against you? Where do you find your peace and hope? I love that there. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. It reminds me of a little kid. As they're running from something dangerous, and there is the parent with arms wide open, ready to clutch their child and save from whatever's chasing them. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's the picture that comes to my mind. In Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Just as a little child, when scared or afraid, will adamantly and frantically call out, Daddy or Mommy, God's the help we need. He's the greatest parent. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. When we are happy about our salvation, we'll praise his name. Salvation can sometimes for us just become mundane. Oh, okay, we're all saved, hallelujah, yeah. And it can become very easy to become just a part of our identity without a realization of the absolute significance of our salvation. If you're saved young, I was saved young, as was my wife, I can just think, growing up in church, and it just becomes habit. But for some, as we see sometimes out in the community and people who are older, they get saved. Man, there's something they said, you know what God has delivered me from. They don't realize the great benefit of knowing Jesus as their Savior. And God spared them from a lot of baggage being saved young. Man, salvation ought to be exciting. In Mark 8:38, ashamedness will show a lack of love. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Think about this. When God says, I want you to witness to that person, you say, God, I'm too scared. The Holy Spirit will put on your heart witness to that person. You're like, and I can tell you I've done it many times. God will put it so clearly, even as I was walking around, God says, you need to talk to this person, give him a track. And so, you know, as I've been running around and God says, give him a track. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. You know, I'm like, please bring me back. I didn't have anything on me at this time. I go back and God, here you go. But our shamedness shows a lack of love because someone I love, I'm going to talk about. Can I tell you, when you think about a young couple, or even an older couple, as they're dating and they're getting to know each other, man, they want to tell everyone about that significant other. There's no ashamedness. There's no hesitance. I love so-and-so. You know, we're not writing our name on the stalls and that kind of stuff, hopefully. But we're excited that I'm with someone that loves me and I'll have a relationship. Why not the Lord? Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Jesus Christ's name is superior to all others, and no one else is to take his name. Just as the greatest of sports players will have their number retired, so Jesus' name is to be set apart as too great for anyone to take his name. And with that, I will finish. I'll go further next week. But as we think on the things of the Lord and his name, again, this project is a tremendous reminder to me. Sometimes you feel like you've been forgotten. You feel like, what am I doing? Is it making a significance and any difference? And then God begins to work. And I say, woe is me, Lord, for my lack of faith. See, Christians, we have the answer to this world's problems. We have the solution to hearts that are overwhelmed by the anxieties, the fear, the trauma, the tragedies, and all other things of life. We have the answer to the cure for the very things of mental illness. We have the cure through Jesus Christ. It kind of reminded me just the other day as we were doing the work on, I think the first day, we had a lady come by and just yelling a whole bunch of obscenities and hated what we were doing. We're Satan's territory. He doesn't like it. And he's been fighting because the name of Jesus is liberty, our defense, our help, our encouragement, our peace, our refuge. It's that name that we run to and we're safe. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been trusting in good works, you've been trusting in something else of life, I want to encourage you tonight to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Realize it's your sin that put Him on that cross and my sins. And you need Him to forgive. You need to accept that gift that you didn't pay for. You didn't earn, because any gift you pay for is no longer a gift. But Jesus paid it all. And Christian, may we be reminded, may we as we're doing this project remember it's for the Lord's name. And I'm so thankful for all the men and women. And I haven't got a sense at all of anyone trying to showboat or, man, it's just been unbelievable. It's been for Jesus. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, we're just going to have a time of invitation. Then we'll have our corporate prayer time to follow. But I really want to just encourage you to think about the significance of a name. As the song plays, would you have time to just talk with the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks to you this evening?